Mary Magdalene was on her way to the tomb early in the morning. As the pre-dawn light began to creep across the sky, she noticed that something didn't look right. The stone which protected Jesus' body from desecration by his enemies, wild animals, and tomb robbers had been rolled away. Mary panicked, and she ran all the way back to tell the other disciples that someone had stolen Jesus' body. The disciples jumped to their feet, and they raced to the tomb as fast as their tired limbs could carry them. When they arrived, they saw that it was true. Someone had rolled away the stone, and Jesus' body was nowhere to be found. Mary stood outside the tomb crying as Peter went in to investigate. The 100 pounds of burial spices that had been lining Jesus' linen wrappings were scattered all around, and they crunched under Peter's feet as he entered. The linens were discarded in a pile on the floor, and the cloth that had covered Jesus' face was rolled neatly where his body had been lying. This certainly looked like the work of grave robbers. But what evil purpose could they have in stealing a man's body like this? Peter didn't want to know. He walked straight past Mary as he exited the tomb, weary and pale. By the look on his face, the other disciples knew that the news wasn't good. They returned to their homes in silence, with heavy hearts. Only Mary stayed behind, unable to move in the depths of her grief. Suddenly, a gentle voice behind her asked, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Mary turned around and saw a face that, for a moment, reminded her of Jesus. But this had to be the gardener. Everyone knows that dead people do not come back to life. Now, those of us who know this story find it easy to brush Mary's grief aside as ignorance. We all know how the story ends, that the missing body has been resurrected, that everything that the disciples hoped for has been accomplished, and that salvation has been won. But if you look closer, you will see that for many, the question of salvation has not been settled. Not knowing what to make of Jesus' resurrection, we suppose that salvation is about some kind of perfect existence after death. So we continue to live as if practical salvation in the here and now still depends on us. Last week, I saw an article on NPR that suggested salvation can be achieved by dreaming big and by working hard. In 2015, the United Nations outlined 17 goals to make the world a better place by 2030. These goals included things like ending poverty everywhere, achieving gender equality, and reducing the number of driving accidents by half. They're good, even noble goals. But critics point out that 15 years is a very short amount of time to accomplish such lofty goals. Furthermore, many are skeptical of our ability to rally the world around these goals in a practical way. In a little over 2 years, some of these goals have shown progress, while others have shown major regression. Dreaming big and working hard will not be enough to save our world. There's another problem that's not mentioned in this article. Many of the countries targeted by these goals are considered part of the third world. In other words, the goals are mostly about the haves of the first world saving the have-nots of the third world. Most of the world resents this understanding of salvation. And there's an Instagram feed called Barbie Savior, which shows us why. You all know the Barbie dolls. The small, perfect-looking, perfect teeth, perfect hair, perfect smile dolls. Barbie Savior is the doll that saved the world. And BarbieSavior.com describes how the Instagram feed was created as a joke by two friends who were tired of all of the white savior posts on social media. These white savior posts, or gushy posts, where white people bragged about the good that they were doing for the less fortunate, particularly in Africa. Many of Barbie Savior's posts are based on actual things that people have said and done on social media. Most recently, Barbie Savior critiqued a post from a young woman on a trip to Kenya. She posted a photograph of herself embracing a small Kenyan girl. Then she wrote about how this must have been one of the best days of that little girl's life. She predicted that this little girl would be given away as a child bride, live in a mud hut with a much older husband who would hopefully leave her alone, and eventually have to sell her body to make a living. Then she encouraged the girl to keep dreaming because dreaming would be her salvation. Sadly, this is not an uncommon example in the social media age where people post before they think. Once again, it reveals our firm belief that salvation comes from dreaming big and working hard. No amount of hard work or dreaming can bring the dead back to life, however, and Mary must have felt completely helpless as she stood weeping before the gardener. She pleaded, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." The gardener looked at her for a moment, and their eyes met. He only said one word, "Mary." The anguish, the fear, and the grief of the past 3 days had left Mary's heart as hard and cold as the stone slab upon which they laid the body of her Lord. But at the sound of her name, something deep within Mary stirred. It was like awakening from a deep and dreamless sleep. Like the spark of a new fire, she felt life returning. Her hardened heart cracked, and her soul rose within her and turned. Suddenly, she recognized her risen Lord. 1,000 questions must have rushed through Mary's mind, only to die on her lips. The only words she could get out were "Rabuni," which means teacher. Everyone knows that dead people don't come back to life, yet here her teacher stood on this side of the grave. It didn't make any sense at all, but she couldn't help her belief. She could barely hear what he said next because her heart was still racing inside of her. "Do not hold on to me because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." With that, he was gone. Mary wasn't sure what the others would think. In fact, she hardly knew what to think herself. But she couldn't keep this to herself. She had to share the good news. It wasn't long before the other disciples began to encounter the risen Christ for themselves. As they tried to make sense of everything that they had experienced, they began to see that the salvation they were longing for had taken place, even if it hadn't happened the way they expected. Jesus' teachings often went right over their heads, and it became a stumbling block to them. He interpreted the law and the covenant in a new and fresh way. He pushed the boundaries of what faithful and decent Jews did in his day. He taught in parables, and he performed signs that went right over the disciples' heads. Then he died the death of one accursed by God, only to do the impossible and rise again. Salvation was never about the disciples' dreams or their work ethic. It was about humility before God and before our neighbors. Such humility begins with faith in things that we cannot see or understand. Like Mary, this faith doesn't happen by our dreaming or our hard work. This kind of faith happens when we hear Jesus call us by name. Daniel, Pat, Alice. At the sound of our names, something deep within us stirs. It's like a great awakening where the dawn rolls back the cover of darkness, raising the world to new life. Our souls rise within us and turn to the one who addresses us by name. And we cannot help but believe. We have nothing to be proud of if we believe. For it was God's doing and not our own that awoke our faith. And through faith, the haves and the have-nots, the first world and the third world, stand on equal ground as beggars before a loving and generous God. What if we stopped assuming that we have all of the solutions and started helping our neighbors wrestle with their questions? What if we stopped giving our neighbors what we think they need and started asking them how we can be better neighbors to them? What if we stopped focusing on our own benevolence and started focusing on our neighbor's dignity? Jesus was raised from the dead so that we would know salvation does not depend on us. It depends on the life-giving breath of God, which reanimates the dust of the earth from which we were taken. In the end, we are all dust. And in the end, we belong to our risen Lord, Jesus Christ. May you hear Jesus speak your name in this Easter season, so that you may turn and be healed.